ballot, your specific ballot, which means that you know what you're going to vote for. You can decide what you're going to vote for, who you're going to vote for. No more straight ticket. Now, straight ticket, people have a lot of misunderstandings which aren't relevant anymore because the legislature ended straight ticket voting. But you're going to have to go down every single item. You cannot, like, vote straight Democrat. But, of course, technically city elections are nonpartisan. We know how that works out. My ballot, now the sample ballot runs about 8 pages, which is very, very intimidating. However, that includes everything, everywhere in Harris County. For your particular precinct, chances are it'll run maybe 2 pages, and most of that is explanation as opposed to choices. Of course, the explanation can be misleading, which is why you have to do your due diligence. So harrisvotes.com for Harris County. If you're outside of Harris County, you can find your voting information, confirm your registration status at votetexas.gov. Last day to register, to make sure you are registered or to get registered, is October 7th. That is 1 week from today. Make sure you are registered and that the state has not expunged you. The actual election is November 1st. I'm sorry, back up, check that. The next election is November 5th. Early voting starts from October 21st to November 1st. So you've got about 10 days of early voting. And again, you can find the locations and the times that the polls are open by going to either harrisvotes.com or votetexas.gov. My ballot, my sample ballot for my precinct ran about 2 pages. So don't be intimidated. You know, they talk about off-year elections, like you can just blow those off because you're not voting for Congress, you're not voting for Senate, you're not voting for president, you're not voting for governor. But these elections are actually the most important elections in terms of direct impact on your life. It has to do, in some cases, with the state legislature, what the balance of power is and who makes choices, decisions, and proposals. It has to do with the city council and what laws the city council passes, which can either be liberating or the opposite, which would be making more things illegal, making things like bail easier or harder. I mean, the city can control your life in so many ways. City council is not a joke. So, you know, I have this on my website. I've done a little updating for today's show because of the new information regarding the voting information. You can, by the way, not only do early voting, but on election day, you can go in Harris County, because we have Diane Troutman in Harris County. You can go to any of the early polling places on election day, whatever is convenient to you. You don't have to, like, oh my God, where do I go? What's my precinct number? Where they put the polling place this year? Just go to the website, find an early voting place, and that is your polling place. University of Houston students now have their own polling place. This is really a very liberating, in spite of the state of Texas trying to suppress the vote, this is actually a very broadening of the ability to vote and the ease of voting. You don't have an excuse not to vote. You've got about 10 days before the election, then you've got election day, and you can vote anywhere that they have a poll open. You don't have an excuse. Now, I had said in an earlier show that I was kind of hoping that we would get at least a 30% turnout, which for an off-year election would actually be pretty decent. I'm hearing that we may actually get a 30% turnout. So you know what? I'm going to raise the bar. I'm looking for a 40% turnout. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that between me and the people you talk to and remind, and maybe a little bit gently nag, between you and me, I'm hoping we can get to 40%. That would be fantastic for an off-year election. It's not enough, but it's impressive. Okay, so enough about election. I usually start the show with you know, like I try to go with local sort of politics and state sort of politics, and then I go to national and international. I try to do it in sort of an order. I'm going to do it a little different today because there are a couple of stories that caught my attention. The first has to do with flu vaccines. This is the season now for getting your flu vaccine. It's a multiple flu vaccine. It's supposed to cover four different possible flus. Now, the story is, you know, they have to guess this stuff 6 to 12 months in advance, and it's very, very challenging to know which strains are going to be the ones that you have to make. So the current injection is for four different strains of flu. It turns out that two of the four may not be the biggest problems. So what they're recommending is absolutely get your flu shot. If you're young, if you're old especially, but anybody who doesn't feel like getting the flu, it's a good idea to get the flu shot. Varying degrees of urgency depending on your personal situation. But given the fact that two of the four vaccines you're getting may be less effective against some strains they didn't expect, they're still recommending stay away from people who may be sick. And that's an additional guarantee against getting a strain you haven't been inoculated against. And also, guys, wash your hands. For God's sake, man, wash your hands. I can't tell you how many times I'm in the men's room and people are either in the stall or at the urinal and they don't wash their hands. It's like if they rinse their hands, I feel like, okay, at least that. But, I mean, man, and we shake hands. I'm at the point of fist bumping. I just fist bump. I don't like shaking hands so much anymore. I want to wash as soon as possible. And by the way, I'm going to give out the phone number because in spite of all this stuff, it really is open forum. And the open forum number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Okay, and the other atypical bit of news that I'm sharing, because I think it's just really intriguing. You know, ever since they demoted Pluto to being a dwarf planet, they have been looking for other worlds that are further out in the Kuiper Belt, in the Oort Cloud, and they have found some worlds that would qualify as dwarf planets, which sort of supports Pluto's current status. But there has been a suspicion that there is something large out there, that they look at the orbits of some of the newly discovered outer objects, and it looks like they're being influenced by something. So one group of scientists has been calling the unknown planet Planet X, but there is another group that may really be onto something, that they're calling their unfound planet Planet 9. And there's a really interesting theory that I ran across on a site called digitaltrends.com, and there is a paper that's cited at the end. I have linked to all that on today's show announcement at thinkwingradio.com. The theory, now hang on to your hat, the theory is that this ninth world that may be in an orbit that's outside the planetary plane, which may make it additionally hard to find, that has maybe a very elliptical orbit that may be hundreds or thousands of years, one orbit, this object may not be a planet at all. You know, the thought was maybe a Neptune-sized planet or at least an Earth-sized object. Now there's one group that says, you know, this thing, the reason we're having so much trouble finding it is it could be a miniature black hole. We could have a black hole companion to our sun. We may be a binary star, except one of our stars is a black hole. It's a new theory. They feel like they have some evidence, theoretically, to support the possibility. They will be doing additional research, but this is like such a weird, fascinating, exciting, terrifying possibility. It's like, please, if this is a black hole, please don't perturb the orbit. Just do me a favor. Don't mess with the orbit of the black hole. But if it is, that would be, you know, if you're going to make lemonade out of lemons, it would be an enormous scientific discovery because it would give us something close up that we don't understand that we might actually be able to send missions to, you know, if we're willing to wait 15 years for the mission to get there. So this is like a thing. But anyway, getting now to other stuff. And again, open forum, 713-526-573. Now we're getting more to political socioeconomic stuff. There is an article in Yahoo.com Entertainment that Donald Trump may have intervened with Colin Kaepernick's signing, and fans are furious, and Kaepernick is still being shut out. And the way the article goes, it came out Sunday morning, yesterday, that President Trump may have used his financial sway with many team owners in the NFL to prevent Kaepernick from getting a spot on the team. ESPN analyst Stephen Smith explained that owners could potentially lose billions of dollars in revenue if they went against Trump, who has been vocal in his hatred of Kaepernick. NFL is currently trying to get gambling on games legalized, and that requires a thumbs up from the president and Congress. And, of course, there's a lot more. That's just a brief excerpt. So, you know, our president, our quote-unquote president, thy corruption name is Trump. Okay, and now that Nancy Pelosi has called for impeachment, I think it's worth thinking about the various ways this can play out. This is not a one or a zero kind of thing. This isn't just he's impeached or he's not. If he's impeached, he's convicted or he's not. It really is not that simple. So let's look at some possible scenarios. The obvious one is maybe he won't be impeached in the House. I think at this point, we can probably set that aside. He is going to be impeached in the House on one or more charges. The next possibility is he's impeached in the House and the Senate doesn't convict. So now the question is, does that vindicate him? Does that damage him? Does it make him more or less electable? I mean, these are legitimate questions. Also, keep in mind that if he resigns rather than be impeached or go to trial in the Senate, when Nixon resigned, he could face the possibility of a pardon that would cover federal charges that left him basically free of legal encumberment. There are so many state things that are being looked into that would not be obviated by a federal pardon that if and when Trump is out of the White House, he is going to be legally vulnerable no matter what. So if he's impeached, if he's convicted, if Mike Pence becomes president and Mike Pence gives him a blanket pardon, that blanket pardon only applies to federal crimes. He's still on the hook for any state stuff, which might be fraud, which might be tax evasion, which might be bribery, no telling. Now, this is where you start to get a little bit more interesting. If Trump is impeached and then convicted and then Pence becomes president, Pence gets to pick a new vice president that would then probably be promptly confirmed by the Senate. So now you would have an incumbent president with an incumbent vice president that more likely than not would then be on the ballot for 2020, unless this goes to a point where it's too late for him to get on the ballot, in which case that becomes sort of its own legal problem. And then, of course, there's probably every Democrat's dream that Trump, who has already sort of thrown Pence under the bus, along with Barr and Pompeo, there is the possibility, remote though it may be, that Trump and Pence may face impeachment. Now, if they are both impeached in the House and they both go to trial in the Senate, it's kind of like, okay, one may be convicted, one not, two may be convicted, depending on exactly what they're confronting as charges. Even Republicans may be swayed. This is every Democrat's dream. If that happens, Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, is next in line for the presidency until the 2020 election. So there are a lot of different scenarios here. Those are just sort of the most obvious ones. But this is going to be really interesting. This is really historic. It's like if you weren't alive during Watergate, you're going to be able to say that you were alive during whatever they want to call it, Russiagate, Trumpgate, Ukrainegate, Traitorgate, I don't know, whatever they end up naming it historically, you're going to be able to tell your kids and grandkids, oh, God, that was such a mess. I remember that. And then we'll be able to talk about whether or not we saved our democracy. Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. And you can learn about the station, learn about the show, learn about other programming by going to kpft.org. We are a strictly community-supported station, so you can click on the donate jar. You know, you can give us money. You can send us a check. You can use a debit card. You can make a one-time contribution, a monthly contribution, $5 a month. You know, it's like a latte. Man, that would be incredibly appreciated, $5 a month. This isn't a fundraising show. Don't worry. We're not going to spend 15 minutes now doing a pitch. But, you know, this is my station break, so I'm allowed. You can also learn, oh, by the way, another way you can help the station aside from money, which is the most direct way, is talking up the station to your friends and acquaintances. If there is a show that you like or love, whether it's politics or whether it's community information or whether it's music, we do very, very eclectic and rare music. We do a lot of regional, local bands, a lot of different genres. We have Irish airs. We're really, aside from a talk station, we're a music station. So much to sample, so much to listen to. Try it out. You love it. You like it. Tell your friends. And, of course, I have my own website, thinkwingradio.com, where I post all my shows and links to everything I talk about and the vast number of things I never get to. Eventually, I also post my show recordings, but you can first sample them at kpft.org, and we have podcasts. I don't know how the podcasts work, but I have one. You can sign up, and you can get my shows podcasted. So, thinkwingradio.com. I'm on Twitter, at thinkwingradio. I try, and Facebook, thinkwingradio. Repetitive. So, I do different things on all of those places. I try not to be excessively repetitive, so they have different functions for me. Anyway. All right. Open forum, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. One of the things that is worth noting, you know, words matter. And some news, some talking heads, some reporters keep referring to the Zelensky-Trump transcript. It is not, strictly speaking, a transcript. A transcript is a word-for-word or nearly so transcription of a recording or an appearance. And, you know, sometimes it's cleaned up to take out the uhs and the misdirections that people do in their speech. But a transcription is literally what was said. What we're talking about is the White House released a reconstructed transcript, may be the best way to put it, because theoretically this call was not supposed to have been recorded, but it was supposed to have been monitored. So this transcript is a reconstruction of the conversation from those notes, of the note takers. Now, of course, I think one of the most fascinating things is that the official White House release that has basically gotten the president close to impeachment is the fact that he released this in a reconstructed transcript, which may have other stuff that we don't know about, suggests that he didn't think he did anything wrong. He honestly doesn't think he did anything wrong. So that by itself is really kind of a fascinating insight into state of mind. Do we have a caller waiting on the line? Do we have a name? We do not. Okay, put the caller on the line. I will ask them their name. And hey, and who are you, caller?
I'm Gary.
Gary, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike. I gotta turn you out. That was sudden. I just dialed. I've never been on that fast. I just wanted to say I learned something. I didn't know if you knew this, but after 45 years, the reason Nixon resigned
was because he was going to be impeached.
Well, yeah, That he would be on his record as having been impeached. But I learned the additional fact that if he had been impeached and not resigned, he would have lost his presidential pension. And that, now you think that the root of all evil, money is the root of all evil, or the love of money. I was hoping Trump might say, whoa, that's a couple hundred grand a year I can't be without, and maybe he'll resign.
It would make prison life much more comfy getting $200,000 a year sent to his prison.
He's not going to prison. Did you listen to...
Well, you realize that a federal pardon doesn't cover all his crimes.
No, I know that. Did you... Well, that's what I was going to say. Did you listen to the broadcast today?
I missed it on the way here. Sorry.
Okay, well, they had a guy on there. I don't know his name, but he listed 10 impeachable offenses, not counting lies and corruption that Trump has committed since the day he started office.
Literally the minute.
Okay, the minute. And 10 literal impeachable. The guy was a lawyer, and he said, well, this was impeachable, that's impeachable, and it was frightening. Now, of course, it's kind of scary why our government, Democrat, Republicans, we understand, but the Democrats let this go on so long. 10 impeachable offenses in 2.5 years, and they finally said, okay, let's do it. I mean, you're going to let a guy punch you 10 times in the head before you decide to punch him back? I can't believe that this has gone on for so long.
This is a point that I have made repeatedly, that for the first 2 years with the Republicans in charge, the Democrats didn't have the power to do this. You did have several House representatives who put forward motions of impeachment. But being in the minority, of course, they never came to a vote. You know, they had a Republican Speaker of the House. He never brought them to a vote. But there were proposals multiple times for impeachment.
I'll tell you, you told a joke that I have gotten a lot of mileage out of.
Okay.
Thank you. Where the preacher said that Trump was sent by God. And God said, yeah, well, I ran out of locusts.
Yes,
right, well,
I did share that.
I want to tell you that Trump really, really was sent by God, because if Trump is the end of the Republican Party, now that they've been so... Have you been watching these people weasel and lie and say these... Not Giuliani, but these... Not Steve Miller, these obvious... You know, whatever they are, Russian compromise nutballs. But the Republicans, Lindsey Graham and all the others, well, the notable Republicans, lying and making up crap and saying, oh, well, this isn't impeachable, and he didn't do this. And the American people, God bless them, aren't that stupid. And people are saying, I guarantee 2020 is going to be a landslide. And just like the Whigs, and just like the know-nothings, the Republicans can kiss their butts goodbye, God willing.
Well, I have been, I mean, you're a regular listener, so I know that. And in that case, you know that I have said previously that I see this as one of those political transition periods like the 1850s and late 1840s, where you had the gradual weakening and dissolution of one of the major parties, and then you had... sort of a jumble until finally something like the Republican Party reconstituted itself. And the point that I always make is this isn't because the people like in the Whig Party went away and, you know, new people suddenly became Republicans. This is simply a rearrangement of the Democrats and the Republicans and the Whigs and the know-nothings, and they resorted themselves out, and we had two new dominant parties. And what I see happening now, perhaps, is a repeat of that period in the 1850s. Now, you have some very prominent Republicans who have formally left the party. They are now independents. If you get a critical mass of important Republican players who become independents, that could be the kernel of a newly formulated party. But you have to have enough people with enough importance and enough ability to draw money and support for that party to be a real thing. But, you know, you've got Steve Schmidt, you've got, Jolly, you've got a number of Republicans that now are very, very
insistent that they are independents. They have resigned
Flake,
the party.
Jeff Flake has come out against Trump. And
well, that's a very easy thing to do when you're no longer in office and no longer have power. I think that history will treat those people poorly.
Now, do you remember the Republicans, Abraham Lincoln, and they were anti-slavery, and it was the Southern Democrats, what they call them, the Dixiecrats, that were pro,
Well, I mean, Dixiecrats is a name that was coined by the media. But, yeah, the Democratic Party was basically pro-slavery.
And upside, there was a complete reversal of the Republican anti-slavery and then the Democrats were pro, what do you call it?
More or less pro-slavery, more or less.
No, pro-post-slavery. What is it? Pro-anti-immigration. What's the word? I'm getting old and senile.
Me too.
The separation of...
Well, they became...
Where you couldn't go in a restaurant because you were black? What's the word?
Segregation.
Segregation.
Yeah, so, yes, the Democrats...
But now it's kind of flipped, and the Democrats are liberal, the Republicans
are
reactionary.
There are historical and incremental reasons why that happened, and, you know, you can go look them up. I'm not going to talk about them on the show today. But I think that I don't know what the new party would look like. It might look like the Republicans in the 1950s, you know, when they supported unions and stuff. But... time will tell, but I do think we are in that transition period, and I think that I think if you are correct, and if there is a landslide against the Republicans, especially the Trumpist Republicans, that would essentially be the beginning of the end of the Republican Party as we've known it.
All right, one last comment.
Yeah, and then I got to go.
Well, I don't know if you heard that. I listened to a show on the radio, not this station, where they were discussing why are there so many anti-religious millennials, the nuns. And it has nothing to do with theology or philosophy or anything like that. They said that it had to do with the political support of the Republican Party by evangelicals and outspoken Christians, and they're leaning toward, you know, just demanding. I don't know.
Well, the Trump evangelicals certainly don't give Christianity a good name.
But the point is that if that happened to religion, it's sure going to happen to these reactionary Nazis, isn't it?
It's anything is possible.
God for millennials.
You know, the old Chinese saying, may you live through interesting times. We are there. Okay, got to let you go, Gary.
All right, man. Good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Take care. All right. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. And next up is Howard. Howard, how are you? You're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Thanks for waiting.
Long-distance phone call. I'm actually calling from Canada.
Whoa! Cool. Thank you, and I'm sorry I didn't know that. I would have gotten to you sooner.
Ah, don't worry about it. I got long-distance coverage.
Cool.
Anyway, we actually have not talked in person, although we've talked over the computer.
Oh.
I follow you on the computer, and
I think
we were both in Alan Cole's.
Alan Cole. Man, I love that site, and bless Alan Cole. He passed away, and I'm so glad that site has survived him because I love it.
Yeah, you and I got to talking a few times on that. What gets me is I'm wondering why the Democrats, the Congress, the committees, have not used their power and thrown people in jail for refusing to answer the subpoenas that they've been given. The way the administration seems to work right now is just ignore everything and we'll continue on doing what we want to do.
Yep.
The law doesn't apply to anybody in the administration.
And I think... and this is, you know, sort of speculation based on what I read. I think a lot of this is just because it's so unprecedented that they've never confronted such an obstructive presidency. Even Nixon was not this obstructive, and he probably set the bar for obstruction. So I think that on the one hand, they don't want to start
anything remotely resembling a civil war, even on a socioeconomic level, political level. They are concerned about political backlash. They are not sure how to hold these people in contempt. I mean, can you confine them? Can you find them? And I realize I probably put those two words together in an awkward way. Can you imprison them in some way? Can you fine them in some way? Can you sanction them in another way? So these things are literally unprecedented, and they are working their way through the courts. Now, apparently, and again, this is based just on kind of what I read and have come to understand, by making this an official impeachment inquiry, that gives Congress certain additional powers. So if you refuse to submit to a subpoena, there are less ambiguous punishments or penalties for that. That's kind of what I'm getting. But really, we're totally in uncharted territory. We've never had a president like this. We've never had a party like this. We've never had obstruction like this. This is worse than Brexit.
Yeah, I agree. It's like they don't care. And even up here in Canada, the stories are starting to go around, you know. I personally worry because the way this president's acting, you never know if he's going to press that big button he says he has on the desk. And if that happens, we're all done.
Yeah, he may see being a war president as being a way out, and that is a real risk. And I have to tell you, it's my opinion, and I'm sure many others share it, and I'm sure people in Congress are keeping track. You know, over the last 100 years, Congress has ceded an increasing amount of congressional authority to the president on the premise that, A, sometimes they just don't want to go on the record for a thing. B, sometimes things have to be done and decided more quickly than Congress can possibly do it. And C, they trusted the president to be wise and discreet and use these powers sparingly. And I think that we now have had a president that is going to force Congress, especially if after the election, if there is a unitary Congress where the Senate, the House, and the presidency are all Democratic, crossing your fingers. I think there's going to be a lot of thought about either reclaiming a lot of these powers or being much, much more specific in how and when they can be invoked and when Congress, you know, maybe Congress needs to have an opt-in requirement rather than an opt-out requirement, that if they're going to give power to the president, he can't invoke it unless, like, within 2 weeks Congress gives him an approval or something. I mean, there are going to be changes, and there are probably going to be constitutional amendments proposed as well. This is supposed to be
the one in charge of the budget and everything else. Yet Trump supposedly, at least from what we hear, held up money that was appropriated to the Ukraine.
Yes.
He should not be able to do that. That is not his province.
Well, yes and no. And this goes back to the president having accrued an enormous amount of congressional power. Now, again, some of these presidential sequesters, transferences are working their way through the courts because, again, unprecedented. The thing that got him in trouble, and again, it's amazing that he felt it was okay enough to allow it to go out in the transcript, was he obviously was asking for a quid pro quo. He wasn't actually saying to the president of Ukraine, I'm not going to give you the aid unless you do this. He did it like a mob boss does it, which is you never say, I want you to kill that guy. It's more like, you know, this guy, man, he's an annoyance. I wish somebody would take care of him. And that way you've basically given an order without giving an order. Hitler did this a lot. He never, to anyone's knowledge that I know of, actually said, I want you to build concentration camps with gas chambers, with ovens, and exterminate every Jew in Europe. It was more like he gave the impression to the people that were perfectly empowered to do this stuff. And, you know, that's Trump. He's this is how he's always done business, so he saw nothing wrong with it.
He acts like a mob boss. He talks in a lot of cases like a mob boss. So, I mean, what could he look like to people other than a mob boss, you know?
Apparently there are people that are fine with it, which is disturbing. But, you know, even in Canada, in every country, you have these people on the right or the left that will support whoever is in power on the right or the left and make excuses for whatever they do that may be institutionally really unacceptable or intolerant.
Yeah, I find that wrong. I really do. I don't classify myself as right or left. I look at what's good, whether it's on the right or on the left, and I'll support that. I will not support the parties that are either on the right or the left, but are not doing the right thing.
Well, of course, in Canada, with a parliamentary system, you have a really sort of different set of choices.
That's correct.
You have much more nuanced policy differences because you have people at various, you know, various degrees on the scale. But, of course, the problem with a parliamentary system, as we've seen, is if you have enough people in the middle that splinter, then you get extremists on either side who form governments.
It can happen. It can happen. Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
I am so... flattered is the, I mean, that's an insufficient word, but I am so flattered that you not only follow the show, but that you've called in from Canada and we've shared some international opinions. I mean, that's great. I really do appreciate that, Howard. I hope to hear from you again.
I will try and do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Howard. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I've had interstate calls. That is my first international call, so that's pretty cool. Okay, we need to let go line two. There we go. And I believe Bubba is next.
Howdy.
Howdy. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, it's Bubba calling from South Austin. Just wanted to come say hello and offer a little bit of insight on class analysis. Everybody wants to talk about Democrats and Republicans, but, you know, this country has pretty much been run by oligarchs and created by oligarchs from...
But we don't call them oligarchs if they're American, right?
1780s on, and it's always been about which, what industry these oligarchs are lined up with. It can be, you know, the arms industry, military industrial, railroads, oil, coal, insurance, pharma, real estate, media, banking. And the other grid is nationalist versus internationalist oligarchs. And before 1945, the banking industry and the oligarchs of the banking industry in the U.S. were very much circumscribed by nation states. You know, it wasn't so much international banking, international corporations and whatnot. But after 1945, you see this trend of international capitalism. So you see oligarchs that aren't necessarily tied to nation states. And
if I can just insert here, after 1945, the United States was essentially the only country in the world that was economically more or less untouched by the war. So international investment became not only a thing that we did for self-aggrandizement nationally, but also it was a way to help other countries get back on their feet because they didn't have the resources to do it. So, you know,
well, the main thing there is that we were able to penetrate markets all over the world because we were the only industrial output.
Yes.
And so if anybody wanted a bicycle or a refrigerator, it came from the U.S. It created the middle class in this country.
Partly.
So World War II was very, very good for the United States.
In ways.
But the point being here is that up until the 1830s, all the presidents were oligarchs. They were captains of industry. They were the richest guys, you know, like Washington and so on. Then you get this
professional
political class after the 1830s.
Well, I just need to interrupt for one moment. I think we need to use, you know, words matter to me. And I think there's a difference between very rich, influential people and oligarchs that control a measurable fraction of an entire nation's wealth. We had very rich, influential people in power. But until something like the oil barons and the railroad barons, we had never seen concentrations of wealth like that.
That, by essence, is a nationalistic thing. You know, he's into, but the Democrats, on the other hand, since Bill Clinton and Robert Reich and creating NAFTA, they're lined up with the banking industry, you know, but that's become very much internationalist. And so you're seeing an internationalist versus a nationalist thing. I mean, that's the, you know, the subtext. And it's all about the oligarchs, both parties. Anyway, that's my point.
Okay. Well, that's an opinion, and I think there's some food for thought in there.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, Bubba. Take care. Okay, well, we're getting a very eclectic geographic assortment of folks here, which is fun. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and internationally on the Internet, which is super cool, kpft.org. You can listen anywhere in the world. It's really neat. God, man. And podcast. You can get a podcast at archive.kpft.org. You can go to my site and link to all kinds of stuff that I talk and don't talk about,
at thinkwingradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at thinkwingradio. You can follow me on Facebook, thinkwingradio. Repetitive, but, you know, simple. And I try to be a little different in all of those places so that it's not just carbon copies. KPFT.org, though, that's the one you have to remember, because that's how you link to all the stuff this station does, all the eclectic information it does, and you support the station either by contributing money or sharing word of mouth. Both work. Okay, next up is MOD. Oh, and I should mention, we are still open forum. The phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. MOD, you're on the air. You're in Houston, right?
Sometimes.
Oh, man, local boy. I mean, you're not in Canada, you're not in Austin. It's like, really, just in
town? I'm sorry.
That's okay. What's up?
I'm going to try to pick up the bar with all these adults talking before me. They sound like adults.
All right, try to get me into an interesting conversation within 2 minutes. I think that's fair.
Okay. So, you know about all the money that was printed last week by the feds, by the what they call repo? Markets collapsing?
I'm trying to decide if I've heard anything. I mean, of course, printing money is in air quotes because they don't actually print money. What they do is, you know, they have ways of putting money into circulation, electronic money, essentially.
Yeah,
I've heard something. I mean, I know they lowered the interest rate a couple of weeks ago by a quarter of a point. 25 basis points is what they call it.
Right.
And I guess in a way that injects money.
Yeah, so the news came out. I think we know why it happened. So Deutsche Bank was busted by the feds last Tuesday.
Yeah, I heard they were invaded again.
And this time it's pretty big because what caused the I think they're just going to squeeze out another low performer, meaning the central banks, Mike, meaning the repo banks. Again, repo banking is like where you have like a slush fund off to the side for transactions overnight that the investment entities say, well, I got these securities over here, just go ahead and give me the trade, and then I'll promise to pay you back tomorrow.
That's short-term trades between banks and central banks, something like that.
Yeah, so repo banking is what is causing the runs.
Let me ask you a quick question, because you may know more about this than me. Was this a German, what do they call it? Was this basically a German subpoena that they went in? Was this in cooperation with the FBI? I mean, what was this entry into Deutsche Bank? Who did this for what purpose exactly? Do you know?
It's our government, our federal government, our Fed.
Okay, so it had to be in cooperation with the German government. Unless it was, did they do it in the United States? In which case, we don't need the German government.
Yeah, right. And this is... No, you know, I don't know if you know who uses Deutsche Bank
Trump.
A lot lately.
Yeah, it's a Trump thing. It's a family.
Okay, the Trump thing. Well, anyway, they're pinching them right now because of all the laundering. The latest raid at Deutsche Bank occurred Tuesday and Wednesday last week, December 24th and 5th, was related to $220 billion laundering probe of Deutsche Bank, Denmark's largest lender, Deutsche Bank Reserve. As a correspondent to bank to Deutsche's Eston branch, so
they have a special fund for really 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 rich people.
Yeah, and what's funny is this starting to look like Lehman's, Mike, because last time the Feds print, it was first the date on this when they printed the $53 billion last Wednesday was dated July 22nd. That's weird that they didn't, you know, it's not congressional. Approved, and then they did a $70 billion Wednesday. We're up to $330 billion. And Mike, the last time this has happened was September 2008.
Well, and in theory, the Fed is supposed to be independent, which means Congress and the executive have nothing to do with whether they do or do not change rates or do not meddle with the money supply. In theory, Trump is trying to break that wall, but I mean, they manage the money supply. In this country and every country in the world, it has dollars.
2008, following about 2 weeks after Junior created 23 FEMA laws that basically gave FEMA complete carte blanche martial law. I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to try to say during the McCain and Obama debates of 2008, 2008.
All right. What I'm going to ask you to do, and I mean, I know you've got a lot of stuff.
Let me say this one thing.
All right.
All right. So Hank Paulson held up a 6-page letter saying, "You all give us $700 billion now or the world's going to end." Do you remember that?
More or less.
Okay. And some arms were twisted. It was shot down by the House. And then 2 weeks later on the floor of the House for a 3-hour and a 20-minute vote that's against our own constitutional law, a dozen-plus Democrats' arms were twisted, and they basically approved the $700 billion TARP bailout. The last time we've done this is then. So I'm just trying to say, I think they're going to pinch Trump out and Deutsche Bank, because all these big banks, Mike, like J.P. Morgan earlier this year had $1.4 billion.
I think your description of how the TARP bill came to be, and I can't remember what that all stands for.
You don't remember Hank Paulson saying we need this now or the
world's gonna end? No, I remember basically that stuff. We were potentially in the grip of a Great Depression.
Well, that's the same thing right now.
But what you're saying about how it came to be and why it came to be, and remember this was a Republican House at the time, and I think it was also a Republican Senate maybe at the time.
It
has an enormous amount to do, because for the Democrats to go along, in all likelihood, the reason they had to have their arms twisted is because there was stuff in there they really, really hated.
They approved it. The first time it was
eventually
shot down, and then 3 weeks, actually, 3 weeks later, they hit the floor again for a 3-hour, 20-minute vote, which it's against our own congressional voting.
Well, no, it was, you know.
Yes, it is. We don't allow for a 3-hour vote. It's funny. I found it on C-SPAN. You know, they turned the audio off when speaking, and it sat there for 3 hours, and they came back past.
All right. I would suggest, if anybody is really, really curious about how this came to happen in 2008, just go on the Internet, look up TARP, T-A-R-P. I don't remember what it stands for. And you can get several versions, I'm sure, of exactly what this was.
C-SPAN, the recording of the vote.
Well, but recordings require you to sit there and listen for 3 hours, whereas reading can be a much...
They turn off the audio when they're not talking. It was pretty neat.
M-O-D. Anyway, so this is where we're leaving it. You know, if you want to know about TARP, you can look it up online and form your own opinions. It's very complicated, and it was a very trying period, both economically and legislatively. Okay, M.O.D., I'm going to have to let you go now.
You remember Merrill Lynch?
Merrill Lynch?
Yeah, they had a $56 trillion derivatives, and they're owned by Bank of America, and they basically were signing to the U.S. taxpayer insured. There's hundreds of trillions of dollars that these mafia banks...
Well, no, it's not hundreds of trillions. It's not hundreds of...
Yeah.
It's not hundreds. Hundreds of billions. Hundreds of trillions.
So the derivatives are
right.
Started for Deutsche
M.O.D.
Bank.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. You started a conversation. I think people can look it up. You made a point, so I appreciate your call.
Woo-hoo. All right, later.
Thank you. Take care. All right. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM, kpft.org, the station website, thinkwingradio.com, my website, at Think Wing Radio, Twitter, Think Wing Radio, Facebook, but KPFT, that's what you got to support, because that supports my show and all the other shows, many of which you enjoy, and tell other people about them, and donate money when you can, because we're entirely, entirely community supported. The phone number for open forum, we've got about 10 minutes left, so I could get a couple of people on. 713-526-5738. Open line, 713-526-5738. You may have heard, this is from today, that Trump has raised the idea of arresting Adam Schiff for treason. The president questioned whether the leader of the House Intelligence Committee had acted illegally in the way he described Mr. Trump's call with Ukraine's leader. Apparently, this is now treason. This is from the New York Times this afternoon before I left the House. President Trump on Monday questioned whether the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Schiff, should be arrested for treason for his description of a call Mr. Trump had with the president of Ukraine during a recent congressional hearing. A day earlier, Mr. Trump called for Schiff, the California Democrat de facto head of impeachment, to be, quote, questioned at the highest level for fraud and treason. This is a guy who is going completely off the rails. He is so far off the rails, he's already rolling downhill. and all the train cars are following him in disarray. I mean, this is insanity. This is insanity in action. You're going to remember you were alive during this. A former prosecutor with experience impeaching federal judges, which is Adam Schiff, he has taken the lead in the impeachment inquiry regarding the president's phone call with Ukraine. As Mr. Trump's accusations of lying, as for Trump's accusations of lying to Congress, Schiff said on Sunday this week, on ABC this week, let's not pretend that this is really what the president is upset about. Mr. Schiff said Trump was furious with him because as soon as Mr. Schiff learned a whistleblower complaint had been filed, he publicly called for its release. And the story goes on. Okay, we have Michael Kay, who has described himself to our engineers as a far right man. Okay, Michael Kay, let's hear it.
Well, I say I'm far right. I will vote either way for the right person, but my question to you is, why can't we give the president any credit for what he's doing? He's not a politician, so the way he does it is not traditional. And my question to you is, how did he get reelected if he's so bad? Everybody in
No. He was not reelected.
Elected. I'm sorry.
And you could arguably say selected by the Electoral College because he didn't win the popular vote. So he was selected
right.
More than elected.
But it's always been that way.
Yeah, but I'm, you know.
Bad. If it was the popular vote, that's where he would have gone.
But framing matters.
He was smart enough to go to where the votes mattered. And that, to me, gives him some credibility. And he wanted to be president. He's doing it for free. But don't you think that the people had a choice and they didn't want Hillary Clinton? I mean, and I'm not trying to be rude.
No, you're being very civil.
I enjoy those shows.
No, you're
very
fine.
Informative.
I think that you're presenting your side very respectfully, and I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call because I do listen to your show, and my question is, why can't we give him? I mean, you know, you look at the stock market, you look at the economy, the jobs everywhere. Even Obama wanted to stop the illegal immigration. He was all for that. He deported more illegal immigrants than Trump has. And I just wish that we could try to get together instead of fighting all the time. We've got the greatest country in the world.
Let me ask
our
you.
Problem, okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, but at some point we need to have a conversation. Do you believe he has broken any laws?
Well, I know he has.
Okay. If the president breaks laws, what should happen to the president?
Well, you go through the impeachment.
Exactly.
Well, you vote first, and then you go through the impeachment process.
Right.
And I agree 100%.
So if we have a lawless president who is breaking, I mean, since the moment he was sworn in, he was breaking the emoluments clause. He lies several times a day. He doesn't give press conferences anymore, so he's not transparent. He apparently strong-arms other governments, and in some cases he just keeps secret the discussions he has, like with Putin, like with Saudi Arabia. He would have been very happy if this Ukraine thing had been kept secret. But after the Mueller investigation, he seemed perfectly fine with saying, hey, I'll accept help from other countries. And now reports that during that famous meeting in 2017 in the Oval Office, where American reporters were blocked out, and any reports we have are from the Russian State Department. And apparently not only did he give away classified and highly classified information that we got from Israel, he also told the Russians that interfering in our elections doesn't matter. I mean, at what point do you, I'm not going to call you a far right guy, as a conservative or a right leaning person, at what point do you say this is enough? This is actually harmful to our national security. It degrades our country. At what point do you start to feel that way?
Well, I think we are to that point.
Okay.
But the problem is when we investigate it, and like the other investigations, they found out he was not guilty. The Clintons were
not
guilty.
No, that is not what the Mueller investigation found. The Mueller investigation said he had clearly obstructed, but they could not indict him. And they had, like, whole pages of citations of things he had done and witness statements, but they couldn't indict him. And other stuff that was not directly related to Mueller's mandate, they gave off to things like the intelligence community and the FBI. So we don't know what's happening with that.
Right. Well, you know, and what we're told, we don't know if it's the truth or not. It's like when Barack Obama pardoned the law firm that erased Hillary Clinton's emails, 30,000 of them. You know, that didn't even hardly make the news. And he was
oh, my
so
God, no. That was the news. Those emails were the news. But compare that, because those 30,000 emails were apparently what she considered to be private. I'm not necessarily saying that this was ideal, but she also turned over tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of emails that were, in fact, business related to the State Department. So, you know, think about what she erased. That's fine. But also think about what she turned over. And let's talk about the fact that the president uses an unsecured iPhone, that his family uses unsecured phones, that he shares classified or nearly classified or in some cases highly classified information indiscriminately. He took a photograph of a classified picture and put it on Twitter so that the Iranians could see what we know we can get. I mean, what does it take?
That's bad.
That's bad. What does it take? I mean, at what point do you say this guy has got to go? He has got, I mean, whatever the reason, whether it's law breaking or security violations, this guy has got to go.
Well, I just think that he's doing so much good for the country. And you know, we will never, ever know all of the truth.
We will.
A lot of it is sealed. Well, maybe we will, and I hope we do, because if he is impeached and taken out of office, you know, it would be a sad thing for our country. But I just wish that we could – I think that the answer to this is term limits. This way –
Well, we have term limits on the presidency. And
right,
of course,
but I'm talking about everywhere. Congress and these people have been there for 30, 40 years.
You know what? I have a minute and a half, and if you want to call next week and talk about term limits, I'd be happy to discuss that with you.
Okay. Yeah, we got off track. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I appreciate your calling, and I appreciate your listening, and I appreciate your civility.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay, you take care.
Have a good day.
You too. All right. I like the eclectic. Is that a word? Eclecticness of my audience. I think that's wonderful. That actually is the realization of what I'm trying to do, is not right wing, not left wing. Just let's think about what we're believing and why. God, I love it. So exciting. I'm getting tingles. Austin, Canada, right guys, left guys. Man, it just makes me excited. Okay, you've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig, and really listening, which is great, on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. KPFT.org is how you download podcasts and listen to other shows, because some shows have, you know, copyrighted music and you can't download them. And thinkwingradio.com, at Thinkwing Radio, Twitter, Thinkwing Radio, Facebook. You can always leave messages, posts, emails, whatever. I thank all of you for the compliment that you give me listening every or most Mondays. You all take care. Have a great week.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me, whatever it is, you'll live. Learn more at stoptextsstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, KPFT Houston.
Where freedom rings and singers sing. Where Robert Earl Keen meets Martin Luther King. From jazz, justice, peace, and rap, R&B, sports, blues, and comedy. From heavy metal standing hand in hand with our chants. We shall not be silenced by fearmongers and sycophants. The place where your neighbor is on your airwaves. A true community. Celebrating diversity in thought, music, and love. Where your stories are told in unison. The most loving words that we can say, and we say it so bold. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.